The talks between Ukraine and Russia for an end to the war, which has now gone on for 3 odd years, there are very little signs of an actual peace on the ground. In fact, Russia has now stepped in with some of their most intense attacks, which have resulted in the death of more than 10 people in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine. Joining us to discuss not just where the war stands, but some very, very controversial remarks made by the U.S. president, perhaps an indicator of where the peace process lies, Professor Andrew Latham. Thanks, Professor Latham, very much for being with us. I'm just going to quote, read out that quote of Donald Trump, where he says, and I quote, "I've always had a very good relationship with Vladimir Putin of Russia, but something has happened to him. He's gone absolutely crazy. He's needlessly killing a lot of people. And I'm not just talking about soldiers. Missiles and drones are being shot into the cities of Ukraine for no reason whatsoever." If Trump is now calling Putin crazy, where does that leave the peace process?
Well, before I address that question directly, I would say that if you think back to the Second World War and the bombing of Dresden and Hamburg and Coventry and London and Hiroshima and Nagasaki and Tokyo, there were tens of millions of people killed. So when we talk about an attack that renders 4 people dead, I'm sorry for their families, I really am, but that's not on the same scale. It's not even in the same universe as the Second World War.
Sure.
Having said that, an analogy to the First World War on the ground is obvious, right? The trench warfare,
yep,
the attritional warfare, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of the bigger American picture, Trump is all over the place. Sorry, I meant to be more respectful. President Trump is all over the place. Some days he's in President Zelensky's corner, and some days he's trying to build a relationship with President Putin. And I think the signals that he's sending are so confusing as to enable Putin to pursue his war aims, because he's winning the war. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Not the best president we've ever had.
Realistically speaking, unless there is a peace process, do you sense that Ukraine and its defenses might fold within this year?
Yeah. It pains me to say this, but Ukraine is going to be defeated. It's not going to fall entirely under Russian hegemony. All the Russians want, all Putin wants, is the 4 oblasts and Ukraine to be demilitarized and neutralized. So no European Union, no NATO membership, those kinds of things. And I would say that he's going, for better or for worse, he's going to get his way within the next few months.
See, most of eastern parts of Ukraine have already gone to the Russians. They've made considerable progress. They've made a lot of inroads moving west. Would he actually stop essentially at the line of contact, or do you expect him to continue moving west?
Moving a bit farther west. I mean, the Russians do not yet have control of those 4 oblasts,
yeah,
which the Russian Constitution says are part of Russia. So until and unless that territory is conquered, Russia's going to continue fighting. Is it going to invade Germany and France and cross the channel and attack the Britain? And yeah, no, that's not what's going on here. It's not even about conquering all of Ukraine. It's about taking those 4 oblasts in their entirety and about the land bridge between Crimea and those oblasts. And that's it.
And President Trump is just going to let that happen?
Well, there's a couple of places that I never want to inhabit, and one of them is President Trump's brain. I don't know, because he's all over the place. On any given day, on any given hour, he's sometimes on Zelensky's team, he's sometimes on Putin's team, he's sometimes building a relationship with Russia, he's sometimes trying to check Russia. and blunt Russia and balanced Russia, that's not a place that I, even if I were a psychiatrist, I wouldn't want to inhabit that place. But as a political scientist and international relations specialist, when I look at this from a 30,000 foot perspective, what I see is ultimately the United States of America trying to create a situation on the ground in which Russia gets the limited things that it wants, and then that allows the United States to disengage from Europe and rebalance and focus on the Indo-Pacific. That's where I see the Trump administration going.
America literally pulled the rug under Europe and the premise of NATO at the Munich Security Summit. I was there for that. And what J.D. Vance said, I mean, stunned European leaders. And the basic point was that, look, Europe needs to get serious about its own defense. But in the interim period, Europe can't realistically do anything to stop Russia, can it?
Well, A, Europe does need to get serious about its own defense. It's been free riding since the end of the Second World War.
Right.
I don't agree with Trump about a lot of things, but I agree with him about that. So they need to get their act together, right? The Germans can't even provide literally cold weather underpants for their troops. I mean, they haven't invested anything, and they've depended during the Cold War and in the post-Cold War era, they've depended on the United States. Great. Now they need to take up that set of responsibilities for themselves, because the United States under the Trump administration has decided it's pivoting. It's pivoting away from the Middle East and the Persian Gulf, too, by the way, and really focusing on Western Hemispheric defense. That's the whole jargon, if you like, about Greenland and the Panama Canal and Canada as the 51st state and all that. But also, more importantly, pivoting towards blunting and balancing and checking China in the Indo-Pacific, which is why the U.S. has got a really good relationship growing with India, for example. And so if you're going to do that, you have to say to the Europeans, take care of your own backyard.
Yeah. Where does that therefore leave Trump and Putin? I mean, how would Putin potentially, because they do speak every now and again, and there's always this sense of hope and optimism that, look, you know, the two leaders have spoken. Trump always comes out with an optimistic spin. But now that he's called Putin crazy and has really and has said that something's happened to him, et cetera, et cetera, do you believe that personal chemistry between the two leaders is shot?
Well, I'm not sure there ever was. I mean, I know the mythology that Trump loves Putin because he's a strong man. I've never bought that. Trump, on any given day, will beat up on Zelensky, and then the next day he'll beat up on Putin. And I, at the end of the day, I don't think it's about personal affection or some kind of resonance between their personalities. I don't think President Trump, first of all, knows what he's doing. But secondly, to the extent that he does, on any given day, he's pushing, first of all, Zelensky to do a deal, and then he's pushing Putin to do a deal. Here's the problem. There's no leverage that the United States or the Western world has that they can bring to bear against President Putin that will deflect him from his war aims. It's just simply not going to happen. I know people like to say the word transactional when it comes to President Trump. There is no transaction to be made with Putin. He's winning the war, and he won't stop until he wins the war. And when he wins the war will be over.
Do you believe a regime change in Kyiv is part of the step towards potentially getting Putin to agree to stop?
Well, I will say this, that there, President Zelensky, I know in the West, he's heroized. He's treated as some kind of saint and savior. But first of all, let's remember where he comes from. Literally, he's a clown. So that's to be said. But secondarily, the population, especially the mothers and wives and daughters, in Ukraine are increasingly disaffected with him. Mm. I don't think he has much of a political future. I know the West, people in the West love to think that he, as I said, that he's this fantastic political leader, but he's not viewed that. That's not his history. His history literally is as a comedian, and his actions over the last 10 years have actually not caused this war. This war was caused by Putin, don't get me wrong, but he has created the conditions of possibility for this war with NATO expansion and trying to eliminate Russian culture within Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's a whole long story there. And now that Ukraine is on the verge of losing this war, with all of the casualties, they're literally running out of men to fight this war. Yeah. You can imagine the mothers and daughters and wives really not being happy with Zelensky.
All right, Professor Latham, you know, it's sad what we are discussing today, but we are no closer to a peace, despite what the optimism and the sense of hope was. Hopefully things will change. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us.